This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Friday, April 11th, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, Rob Cantor has this week's edition of the Environmental Almanac. And we'll have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, today's news. Fire destroyed a campaign office of presidential candidate Hillary Clinton, Western Indiana, early this morning. Terre Haute Fire Department spokesman John Gardner says two people were inside when the fire broke out but escaped without injuries. Gardner says nothing so far had indicated the fire was arson, but firefighters are investigating. A volunteer firefighter spotted flames on the roof while driving by the office shortly after midnight. The roof of the one-story building partially collapsed, and a part of the front wall collapsed on a parked car, which then caught on fire. Clinton is battling Illinois Senator Barack Obama for the Democratic presidential nomination. Both candidates have set up offices throughout Indiana as they vie for the state's 72 delegates in the May 6th primary. The much-disgraced star witness in the Tony Rezko fraud trial is starting to fight back against defense attorneys. Robert Wildebor has the story.
Stuart Levine has been on the stand for a few weeks now, and every day he's been forced to tell jurors about his extensive drug use and his criminal activity. Levine is testifying against Tony Rezko in return for a lighter sentence for his own fraud. Rezko's lawyer, Joe Duffy, is arguing that Levine's drug use has affected his memory. Whenever Levine misspeaks or stumbles, Duffy makes the most of the opportunity to humiliate Levine in front of the jury and portray him as an addled fool. Sometimes he'll even talk to Levine as if talking to a child. But yesterday, Levine turned the tables. Levine quibbled with the premise of a question Duffy asked, but then in a patronizing tone said it was absolutely understandable that Duffy would make such a mistake because Duffy didn't really know what he was talking about. Levine has been increasingly aggressive on the stand, trying to parse and refine questions or even asking his own. The judge told Levine to pay more attention and stop wasting time. I'm Robert Wildebor.
The University of Illinois is several months into a concerted effort to improve diversity and the racial climate on the Urbana campus. A day of lectures and discussions Thursday was aimed at helping the Inclusive Illinois program along. Jorge Chapa organized the conference. He says there are signs of progress, remembering a recent copy of the Daily Illini newspaper that had advertisements for his conference, another one on racial issues, and a debate on hate speech.
All next to each other. I said, well, there's a message. I mean, at least people on campus are thinking about these issues and doing something about it. So I thought that's one thing. They said, well, you won't see this every day, but it's good to see it.
Chapa says educators are now trying to find more concrete evidence that diversity efforts are working, including analyzing the content of student internet sites. He knows that conferences like his attract those who already recognize the importance of campus diversity, but they influence many others who didn't attend. They've tried for years to no avail, but yesterday, Illinois' governor and legislative leaders met to once again discuss a statewide infrastructure program. Amanda Vinicky reports on how the talks went.
The embattled state leaders say things are a bit different this time around. That's because two political honchos from the past have been brought in to facilitate. Former U.S. House Speaker Dennis Hastert and one-time Congressman and Southern Illinois University President Glenn Pichard. State Senate Republican leader Frank Watson says that changed the tenor of the meeting.
I like their leadership. I like what they're doing. They bring credibility to the process, so I'm optimistic that something can come of this.
Governor Rod Blagojevich also had a positive take.
My heart is filled today, and I have nothing but love in my heart for everybody, and we're looking forward to getting this done.
The feeling isn't mutual. This week, the House passed a measure aimed at Blagojevich that would let voters kick out officials before their terms are up, and a state senator, citing incompetence, called on Blagojevich to resign. Illinois House Speaker Mike Madigan was a no-show at the meeting, although his office at the Capitol is only steps away from where it was being held. Madigan sent a representative in his place. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Gordon Randy Steidel fought from behind bars for 17 years to prove his innocence for a 1986 double murder in Paris, Illinois. For the last 4 years, Steidel has been trying to obtain a pardon from Governor Rod Blagojevich. Steidel believed his effort was over in February when he received a letter informing him his petition had been denied. However, a spokesman for the state's Prisoner Review Board says Blagojevich hasn't acted on the pardon request and Steidel's case is still pending. Ken Tupe says the mistake occurred when Steitel's file was erroneously placed in a box containing pardon denials sent from the governor's office. He says notices are being sent out to all of the parties. The original letter was an error and that the case is still pending. It's been a busy time at the Champaign Public Library. The number of items checked out show use of the new facility went up by about 30% in February and March. And Library Director Marcia Grove says state-of-the-art technology has played a big part in helping staff keep up, highlighted by a self-checkout system and a drive-up book drop that runs on a conveyor.
Those materials get automatically checked in on this new technology using RFID, radio frequency identification, and automatically sorts them. A lot of people haven't seen that part because it's kind of in the background in staff areas, but it's saving us so much time.
The number of visitors to the new library has jumped to more than 1,900 people a day. The biggest gains in book circulation have been in the children's and teen areas. Grove also attributes the increased activity to the library's wireless internet service and the addition of about 40,000 items. She says things should only get busier as more parking space becomes available. The expanded parking lot where the old library stood should be finished in late June. The U.S. Senate has approved a bill designating federal heritage areas dedicated to Abraham Lincoln in Illinois. The bill would designate locations in 42 counties around central Illinois as the Abraham Lincoln National Heritage Area. The spots include the Lincoln Douglas Debate Museum in Charleston, the Macon County Log Courthouse in Decatur, and the Carl Sandburg Home State Historic Site in Galesburg. Illinois Senator Dick Durbin says the legislation sets up $10 million in federal grants over 10 years for the areas as well. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bonser. In this week's Environmental Almanac, Rob Cantor talks about a seldom appreciated waterway that winds its way through Champaign-Urbana, the Boneyard Creek, and what you can do to help improve its image.
How close are you to the nearest stream right now? I bet it's not as far as you first think. That's especially true when you consider that in central Illinois, our waterways really begin wherever rain falls and doesn't soak into the soil. On the U of I campus, and in much of Champaign and Urbana, there are reminders of this fact attached to the storm drains, medallions that read, "No dumping, drains to creek." These medallions are also a visible reminder that there's a growing appreciation for the Boneyard Creek, a waterway that has been abused and overlooked in the past, except when it drew attention to itself by flooding. The medallions have been installed by volunteers at past celebrations of Boneyard Creek Community Day, an annual event that you're invited to take part in a week from Saturday on April 19th. Volunteer activities for Boneyard Creek Community Day will take place at a number of sites on the creek, but begin with registration at 9 a.m. at Scott Park in Champaign. There, participants will be able to choose from a number of options. Some groups will fan out from the park to pick up trash. Others will work with staff from the Urbana Park District and the Champaign County Forest Preserve District to naturalize the stream corridor by removing invasive exotic species and replacing them with native plants. Volunteers will also continue the project of marking storm drains to remind people that whatever goes into them winds up in the creek. Organizers for the event ask that volunteers wear closed-toed shoes, not sandals, and that they bring their own water bottles. Volunteers will receive free T-shirts, and after the work is done, they're invited to stay at Scott Park for a free lunch, along with free entertainment, thanks to Chad Dunn and Recycled Rhythms. The Boneyard Creek Community Day can be seen as a part of the greater appreciation being shown for the Boneyard Creek by the local community. The U of I led the way in drawing attention to the creek with its makeover of the stretch that runs through the engineering campus, completed in 2004. There, what was formerly a straight concrete channel has been replaced by a more natural-looking corridor with a grassy slope that allows people to approach the edge of the stream from one side and in-channel features that vary the depth and flow of the water. These features also make the creek more inviting to wildlife, and depending on the time of year, you may encounter fish, bullfrogs, and snapping turtles in the stream, along with the many different birds that are drawn to it. The cities of Champaign and Urbana also have plans to incorporate a more naturalized Boneyard Creek into public spaces. In Champaign, the City Council approved a plan last year to create a naturalized flood control basin between downtown and Scott Park. In Urbana, the just-completed Boneyard Creek Master Plan calls for transformation of the creek from a highly urbanized drainage ditch into a place for people, a destination for the local community with spaces for leisure and enjoyment. From my perspective, there's not much more you could ask for.
The public is invited to learn more about Urbana's Boneyard Creek Master Plan at an informational meeting in City Council chambers from 4 to 6 p.m. this Monday, April 14th. More information about Boneyard Creek Community Day is available on the web at boneyardcreek.org or by calling Prairie Rivers Network in Champaign at 344-2371. This week's Environmental Almanac is made possible in part by University of Illinois Office of the Provost. In the forecast for East Central Illinois, a wind advisory is in effect until 7 tonight. Increasing clouds the rest of today. A chance of showers in the late morning and afternoon. The high around 62 degrees, very windy. We'll have gusts up to 50 miles per hour. Cloudy skies tonight. The low around 38 degrees. Windy with southwest winds 20 to 25 miles per hour. Gusts up to 35. Numerous showers and a chance of snow showers tomorrow. No snow accumulation, however. Colder with a high around 42 degrees. Breezy with winds up to 20 miles per hour with gusts around 30. Cloudy skies tomorrow night. A chance of showers or snow showers in the evening. Then a chance of snow after midnight. The lows around 32 degrees. Mostly cloudy skies Sunday. The high around 42. Mostly cloudy Sunday evening. The low around 30. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Friday, April 11th, you can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bosser, AM 580 News.